Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Pete Seat is on the phone line now. Pete has the distinction of going to 15 World Series in a row. Pete, welcome to WGN.
Good afternoon, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I love that your name is Seat, right? That's just perfect, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, everyone has enjoyed the puns that come along with that and securing tickets to the World Series. The stories write themselves.
So this year you went to Game 2?
I did. I went to Game 2 down in Arlington, Texas. As you mentioned, the 15th consecutive year that I've been able to attend a World Series game. I'm grateful to be able to keep the streak alive, especially in the midst of a pandemic.
So I want to ask you about how you get your tickets. But first, the funniest thing in this article is because there were so few people who were going to be able to go to the World Series, you thought your streak was going to end, and you actually issued an appeal to the Commissioner of Baseball. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I emailed Commissioner Manfred directly, got his email address from a friend, and asked for an excused absence. I got the idea, actually, from the Indianapolis Motor Speedway president, who issued a proclamation to all the fans that couldn't go to the Indy 500 this year, saying, hey, some of you have gone for 30, 40, 50 years. Don't worry, your streak continues. So I thought, hey, maybe I can get a free pass from the commissioner of Major League Baseball. It'll give me the peace of mind if I'm unable to go. And he granted it. He sent me a letter and said, in this scorer's judgment, your streak will continue.
Now, that's sort of like when the bishop issues a dispensation so you can go to the parish fish fry.
That's exactly like it. Yes, yeah. That's exactly the way I thought of it, too.
Okay, so you're an Indiana guy, right? You're in Indianapolis now. You're from Schererville, just and sort of an exurb of Chicago. You started the streak when? What year was it? 96? No,
2006.
2006. Who was playing that year?
Yeah, started in 2006. So I went to Detroit. I was working at the White House at the time, and it was extremely hectic. We were working very long hours. In fact, the week I went to the World Series, I worked 96 hours in 6 days. And so a colleague and I just needed to get out of Dodge, needed a break, went to Game 2 of the World Series. And I had been to two games prior, Games 2 and Game 7 in 2001. In fact, Game 2 was 19 years ago today in 2001. And I said, you know what? This is fun. I like going, even though I can't root for my Cubs and knowing that they'll never make it in my lifetime. Maybe if I go to 50 of these in a row, that will equal one Cubs World Series. And joke is on all of us. They not only made it 11 years later, but they won the whole thing.
So now you mentioned two things, working at the White House in Arlington, Texas. Yeah. And the third point in that triangle is George W. Bush, right?
Yeah. Former owner of the Texas Rangers himself. I actually got to see him throw out the first pitch at the World Series in 2011.
Well, you worked in his communications office?
I worked in the press office, yeah. So I worked directly for the press secretary for Tony Snow at the time, and then Dana Perino. My desk was right behind that briefing room podium that we see every day that the press secretary stands behind.
So did you hook up with the president to get these tickets?
No, I actually got these face value during the public on sale. I had 15 to 20 friends around the country, armed and ready to go on their mobile devices and desktop computers. I had 5 devices going when tickets went on sale, each one with a separate browser open. And as luck would have it, 4 minutes after they went on sale, I was able to get through. This year, what was different, that's not always the case, but this year what was different is I couldn't buy one ticket or two tickets. I had to buy 4 because of social distancing requirements.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I was able to recruit friends to meet me there, and we had a good time.
Well, how hard was it to recruit friends to meet you there for the World Series?
You know, not all that difficult.
I wouldn't think so.
Yeah, so a friend flew in from Arizona. I had 2 friends here from Indiana meet me down there who happened to be Dodgers fans, so they were thrilled by last night's results. And none of them had been to a World Series before, and my buddy from Arizona, as we were walking around about midway through the game to get a drink, said to me, hey, you think we could do this every year?
So
I was like, it makes sense now, doesn't it? Now you understand why I do this.
How big of fans are they? Would they hug Justin Turner after the game? Are they that big of a fan?
Oh, they may have given him a kiss if they had the opportunity. But no, huge fans. I mean, they were loving it. You know, it wasn't the most exciting of games, but we got to see a number of home runs. And for those who watched the game, there was a guy in game two in the stands out in the outfield who, in his exuberance, when he caught a home run ball, threw his glove onto the field.
Right.
We were about 10 seats over from him.
That's so funny. I remember that. He's like, it was like a kid doing something. He had no explanation for it. And all of a sudden it's like, how did that happen? Okay. So you've made 15. What's your goal? Another 15?
I have no plans to stop. I mean, if I can pull this off in the middle of a pandemic, I feel like there's no reason not to go otherwise. And in some weird way, this actually was easier because it was a neutral site. You know, sometimes I don't know where I'm going until 5 or 6 days in advance because you're waiting for the winner of the championship series.
Sure.
So it makes it a lot more difficult. This one, I at least knew it was going to be in Texas. Obviously, we had the uncertainty about whether or not there would be fans in the stands. But my rule is, if there's fans in the stands, I'm in the stands.
Okay, so I want you to take me to the White House a little bit because I'm really interested in I'm interested in what it's like there in the briefing room. I was in the briefing room once when Jimmy Carter was president. I was a high schooler, I think, and I know it was revamped after that, but it's a pretty cramped space, right?
It is, and everyone is always surprised by how cramped it is. It was renovated in 2007, right about the time I joined the press office. I was already at the White House working in the scheduling office and then made the switch over, so it was much more on par with technological requirements of the day, and we could do a lot more with slideshows and presentations and videos. But it was an incredible experience, the professional honor of a lifetime to serve the President of the United States, and in particular that President of the United States, George W. Bush. I mean, I was in college when he first became president and admired him from afar and remember the first time I was able to shake his hand and meet him at a rally in 2002. And, you know, flash forward, 3 years later in 2005, there I was walking through the gates of the White House for the first time to work as a member of the White House staff. And it gives me chills to this day to think about it and look at the photos and reminisce about the incredible experiences I had in 23 countries around the world, aboard Air Force One, flying around the world in the country. You can't beat that at that age.
So you were above a junior staffer, sounds like.
Well, based on how the New York Times defines senior administration official with this anonymous book that came out, I guess I could say I was senior, but no, not by any stretch. I was low on the totem pole.
But were you in the president's presence often? And if you were, I don't care who the president is. I just think that's kind of a cool thing. Tell me what that was like.
Yeah, I probably saw him, I mean, on average, once a day. But there were days where I would see him two or three times a day. Part of my job was being a spokesperson, and part of my job was logistics for the media and making sure they could get into the Oval Office for events or the Roosevelt Room or the Cabinet Room or around the world. So I was the guy who was literally escorting the press pool into the Oval Office for meetings with world leaders. Or on January 7th of 2009, you've probably seen that iconic photo of then President-elect Obama, President Bush, his father, President Clinton, and President Carter all gathering together in the Oval Office. I was in that room. I was one of about six staffers that were in that room that time for that historic moment.
Did he have a nickname for you?
Not that I'm aware of. If he did, it hasn't been shared with me.
Pete's seat has been to 15 World Series in a row. Okay, I'll talk to you in about a year, okay, Pete?
Sounds good. I appreciate it, Steve.
Thanks for joining us. You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN.